because I thought it was pretty funny. But, you know, the cat, Betty's going, no, please don't. Please, no. And anyway, you know, it's the academy. We got English teachers. We got English students. I heard about the other day that the past, the present, and the future all happened to walk into church at the same time. And it was very tense. Come on. A little more. It was very tense. Did you hear that? Yeah, that's smart humor. Come on, that is, come on, you know, I mean, hey. Well, you know, if you came in here today feeling a bit tense, I want to speak to some things that will hopefully relieve some of that. Let me just share something quickly as I'm diving in this morning. So our Nicaragua trip, this was our 20th anniversary. We had big plans. We were excited. We were making some significant changes that we were really excited ministry-wise. We had a team easily of 40 or more that would have been joining us from across the United States. And for the first time in 20 years, we're canceling that trip. So it is official. Some of you have been asking me through the week, did I hear right? And I kind of let you know last week that I thought that was happening. This week, it did happen, and we canceled the trip officially. It's just too much unrest. When I started to even get my mind around the possibility that we might be canceling the trip, I automatically went into kind of autopilot, I would say, because for the last 30 years of my life, I've been in another country somewhere around the world preaching the gospel every year faithfully at least once, and letting go of that was just almost inconceivable to me. And automatically began to contact some people. We've had a lot of fruit. I mean, amazing fruit, you guys. Sometimes I don't feel like we communicate as well as we should, all the good things that have come out of that trip. 2012, we had a young man from Huntington Beach, California, which my friends Mike and Casey would know. There's Casey back there very well. His name is Jared Mueller. Jared's a great guy. Wow, great guy. Came to Nicaragua with us. God was stirring his heart. It's quite a story. He felt called to full-time missions. He and his wife, Kelly, and their two small boys are full-time missionaries now in El Salvador. Can you give the Lord praise for that? But Nicaragua played a key role in that. So I contacted Jared, and I was thinking, well, we'll just move things over to El Salvador, and we'll just do that. Jared was really happy to service, and I'd had about four different people, as I count them up, four different people. Our church council had done something so precious, so gracious for us here some time back. They had not only encouraged but fully supported and really recommended that Tracy and I, for the first time in the 25 years of pastoring this church, that Tracy and I consider the possibility of a sabbatical. So we were embracing that, but then quite honestly, a lot of hurdles, a lot of challenges, a lot of difficulties came our way, and I'm just going to be real confessional. I started jettisoning the idea. I started throwing it overboard, so to speak, because I just didn't see how it could happen, especially with Nicaragua, the 20th anniversary, right in the middle of what would be kind of the time frame that we would look at that would naturally work for us. And then when this whole thing came up with Nicaragua, just out of the blue, unexpected, had four people that speak into my life. And I absolutely believe in submission to authority. I have wonderful authorities, wonderful counselors, wonderful leaders in my life. And had four different ones say to me, have you considered that God might be just clearing the table for you so that you could actually take that sabbatical? And I had to really stop and wrestle. I'm telling you, it was like wrestling with God. because sometimes there are things that you do, you just do them out of passion, you do them out of loyalty, faithfulness, and letting go of things sometimes is really, really hard, at least for me. And I just was felt like I was wrestling with the Lord over this, and when I finally came to the place of saying yes to the Lord, yes to the encouragement of our council, yes to the encouragement of some counselors in our lives, some leaders in our lives, I felt a serene peace. I felt just a serene peace, and I think my wife did too. Tracy and I had a talk the other day we were walking around the Papa John's Park, such a beautiful little place there, the waterfalls, and my wife just looked at me and said, "Honey, I'm just tired, and I just need a season to rest." And kind of what happens for us a lot of times is when the academy's starting to wind down, Nicaragua's starting to ramp up. So we kind of go from a time where we need a rest, but there really isn't a time to have that rest. We have to gear right back up. And this year's provided a unique opportunity. So we'll be talking about that over these next 3 weeks as Tracy and I prepare, as we work through details with our council, as we make absolutely sure in every way possible that everything's in place in such a way that the church will be blessed and the church will not suffer and the church will continue to be fruitful. So, and I think someone said it to me this week, this will be an investment in our own hearts, our own souls, that'll bring great dividends. So would you pray for us on that? Would you pray for us on that? I really do appreciate it. I want to share with you this morning elements of emotional health. We might continue this on a few different Sundays, maybe the next 3 Sundays that we'll be here and be sharing before we launch out into that sabbatical. This has been a journey for Tracy and I over these past several months, and really longer than that, but the whole concept of emotional health. And my dear friend Smitty asked a question the other day at the end of our emotionally healthy relationship seminar, and it was good. It really made me think, and part of what I want to share today and maybe in the weeks ahead is somewhat of an ongoing answer to that question. And it's interesting because we have a sense in Scripture that there's a clear directive that when we become believers in Christ, we become a new creation. How many of you know that scripture in 2 Corinthians that as many as received him, he made him a new creation. Old things are passed away. New things, behold, new things have come. And that's glorious and wonderful, and that's our inheritance, and that's our spiritual reality, and that ought to be where we're living every day. Amen? But how many of you also know that a lot of us are falling short on that front? That a lot of us are dragging things from our past into our present and into our future. Hey, there's those tenses again. And unless we deal with a lot of the stuff from our past, Jesus doesn't always take it all away in one fell swoop. Have you noticed that? My mind hasn't become renewed overnight. My mind has to be renewed day by day by getting into the Word of God. That's what Romans chapter 12 says. So I want to talk about elements of emotional healing, and I'm not even going to, this will not be comprehensive in any way, but I want to give some thoughts today. Fear is a big thing in our world today. Fear is huge. It just seems like it's getting more and more. I think a lot of it has to do with the unbridled access that we have to media. And sometimes I have to just unhook from that just to get peace. You know, I have a tendency to have the talk radio on in my car when I get in, and I listen to stuff over and over again, and I hear the complaints, the criticisms, the challenges, the shootings, the things that are happening around the world that are getting us keyed up. And fear just seems like it's expanding, growing. It seems like it's consuming so much of our peace. Fear, a lot of times, and there's different types of fear, different ways fear works. But a lot of times fears kind of are hitched to some kind of trauma, some kind of damage from our past. And trauma can be traumas with a big T or traumas with a small T. I one time was at a treatment program, and they went through a list of traumas, and they had to stand up. And with every trauma that we'd experienced, I found myself standing up again and again. And because of traumatic experiences, because of damage from our past, because of negative messages along the way, the devil, the enemy of your soul and my soul, can use fear to control us, to cripple us, and to hinder us. And God is really clear in his word. He doesn't give us a spirit of fear. He does not give us a spirit of fear, but he gives us a spirit of power. Everybody say it with me. Love and a sound mind. Boy, is that one we need to commit to memory, meditate on, and daily quote. There's what you might say two types of fears. Two types of fears. There's a healthy fear that's naturally implanted within us that God would use to keep us safe in dangerous situations. If you're getting ready to walk across the road and all of a sudden around the corner comes a car out of nowhere, you panic, you jump out of the way of the car to your safety. And there's a fight or flight biological response that just kicks in and you just naturally respond. That's a healthy type of fear. That's circumstantial. It's beneficial. It's put there by God to help keep us safe. But then if you'll take that same example and you'll think about the crippling fear that the enemy often comes and attacks us with, the enemy loves to jump on things. The enemy loves to find an opening. The enemy loves to find a crack where he can get in and he can begin to manipulate and paralyze and hinder. If you were afraid to ever cross the street again, it's because of that scenario where a car almost clipped you as you were trying to walk across the street. That would be a crippling fear that would very likely be from the enemy. My mom, my own mother, who I loved dearly and I miss greatly, had a number of crippling fears that she dealt with in her life. I'll never forget, on my birthday, I forget which it was in my 20s, my family had asked me where I wanted to go eat to celebrate my birthday, and I chose the Flagship Inn at the top of the Galt House. Anybody ever been there? I think it might be called something different now. I haven't been there in years. It's at the top of the Galt House, and I didn't think anything about choosing that restaurant as far as the challenges that might be associated with it. I just thought of the good prime rib and the good food and circling around our city because it was one of those revolving restaurants. But the day came and we were going to the Galt House and we entered the lobby of the hotel and my mom looked at me and one of her fears, I don't know where it came from or why it was there, but she was afraid of getting into an elevator. And she said, I guess I'm going to have to walk. And I remember going, okay, well, I'll walk with you, Mom. And I think we climbed 26 flights of stairs, something like that, to get to the top of the restaurant. Man, was I ready for the prime rib when we got there. I'm telling you, I had a good appetite worked up. My mom never drove a car. She tried a few times, but fears crippled her and they robbed from her. They stole peace. And there's fear and anxiety that I think is trying to cripple and oppress people today. And it hinders us. And sometimes it even hinders us from doing the will of God in our lives. And unless we identify it, unless we deal with it, we're not going to even realize sometimes that it's holding us back from the good things that God has for us. I happen to be of the belief that every single one of us, that would include all of you sitting here, there's not a one of you that would be exempt from this. If you're a believer in Christ, you're called to be a minister and a missionary. That's what I believe. You are called to be a missionary and a minister for God's glory. That wherever he would send you, you're to be a light. However he could use you, whatever gifts and talents he's given you, those are meant for his glory. It doesn't mean you're going to be a pastor of a church, or it doesn't mean you're going to be a missionary in another society. but it means that you are called, you are chosen, you have something of great value to utilize for the Lord. You have a mission field. Your sphere of influence is where God's called you to be an influence. And I think a lot of times fear comes in, cripples us from even considering sometimes the things God would call us to. I had a guy years ago that I loved. He was a Christian music artist. And this is really going back. It'll be interesting to see how many of you remember this guy. But he was one of my favorites for a season. His name was Scott Wesley Brown. Anybody remember Scott Wesley Brown? He had a couple of really good hit songs. One of them, oh man, he had some really good ones. One was, I think, called Carry Me, and one was called My Treasure. Actually, President Reagan's daughter had that song at her wedding. But he was very popular back in the day. And I had the privilege one time of meeting Scott Wesley Brown, and he was here for a Perspectives on the World Christian Movement class. It was really cool. Because he wrote a song, and this song is illustrative of the fear that cripples, the fear that convinces us that we can't go, we can't do, we can't share, we can't be, whatever. And it was a fun song. It's written in such a fun, jestful manner, but it's got a lot of truth to it. And it was titled this. You could look it up on the internet and even listen to it if you wanted. It's called Please Don't Send Me to Africa. Please don't send me to Africa. Listen to the words. I want to read them to you real quick. Oh, Lord, I am your willing servant. You know where I have been for years. I'm here in this pew every Sunday and Wednesday. I've stained it with many a tear. I've given you years of my service. I've given you my best. And I've never asked you for anything much. So, Lord, I deserve this request. Please don't send me to Africa. I don't think I've got what it takes. I'm just a man. I'm not a Tarzan. I don't like lions, gorillas, or snakes. I'll serve you here in suburbia in my comfortable middle-class life, but please don't send me out into the bush where the natives are restless at night. I'll see that the money is gathered. I'll see that the money is sent. I'll wash and stack the communion cups. I'll tithe 11%. I'll volunteer for the nursery. I'll go on the youth group retreat. I'll usher, I'll deacon, I'll go door to door. Just let me keep warming the seat. Please don't send me to Africa. I just don't think I've got what it takes. I'm just a man. I'm not a Tarzan. Don't like lions, gorillas, or snakes. I'll serve you here in suburbia in my comfortable middle class life. But please don't send me to the ends of the earth where the natives are restless at night. It's interesting, you know, so many fears cripple us. They hinder us from doing what God's called us to do, going where God's called us to go. My friend Andy Landers posted a thing this week called Necessary Risks. And he talked about unnecessary risk versus necessary risk, that sometimes in our getting the gospel to the world that's in desperate need, by the way, did you know in a world of over 7 billion people, about half of them are still waiting to hear about Jesus Christ? Did you know that? That ought to keep us up at night from time to time. We ought to be burdened by that fact. We ought to be asking God to free us from fear so that we can get aligned with His purpose to go into this world and make a difference for His glory, wherever that may be, because there are necessary risks we need to take along the way. Jesus sent His disciples out, and He said these words, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. That's Jesus. Read those words. Sometimes it means He sends us into places that aren't necessarily comfortable. But guess what? He's the comforter. So when we go into those uncomfortable places, maybe it's in the cubicle next to you, maybe it's down the hall where you work, and God is calling you to share with that coworker, and you're uncomfortable about it, He's the comforter, folks. Why is he the comforter if we never find ourselves in uncomfortable situations? Do you ever need the comforter if you never put yourself in an uncomfortable position? There are times and opportunities that God wants us to absolutely shake free from the fear that would hold us back and step out in faith and trust Him. And trust Him. Tracy and I were watching an episode of The Voice this week, and it's already happened, you know, we were watching it on the on-demand thing. And this one precious young African-American young lady that we've been cheering for in this season. Her name's Spencia. She got up and they had all the like eight remaining contestants. And don't tell us if you know who won, by the way, because we haven't got to the end yet. But they said, What have you learned? What do you have to say in this phase of the contest? And she said, first thing I want to say is this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this whole thing's been a step of faith, and I've stepped out in faith, and I'm trusting God. And she sees herself as a light shining in that setting which needs it so desperately. You know, Jesus has been so good at healing me, at setting me free from fears and hindrances. I thought at one point in my life, I thought I was fearless. Only to find that, quite honestly, I had a lot of fear that I was dealing with. I just covered it up well. And part of the reason I'm bringing this today is because we absolutely have to be looking at these things, or they're going to take us captive and we don't even know it. And I think fear and anxiety is a big one. And I think it's growing. Inch by inch, little by little. Kind of like the frog in the water, the pot has been heating up. And are we going to stand up, or are we just going to begin to boil in the pot? It's so important that with compassion and grace and wisdom and focus and discipline, that we make sure we're not hiding our light under a bushel. The only hope for the United States of America in the days ahead is revival by revived people. Amen? People who once again have captured and gotten a hold of the fire, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, or walking in the Spirit, loving people who are in other people's eyes unlovable, giving in ways that seem unreasonable, laying our lives down in ways that are sacrificial, really showing forth the gospel in ways that quite honestly touch hearts. So I'm not even going to get to really my first, that was just my intro. I'm not even to the first point. I'll talk just a moment about it. But how do we become emotionally healthy? I'm telling you this, one of the key factors right out of the gate is coming back to a place of absolute dependence on the Holy Spirit for emotional grace and empowerment. I'm telling you, Rick Warren sat down with Ed Stetzer recently. Now, you may or may not know those names. Rick Warren's one of the most famous pastors in the United States. God has used him in amazing ways. Went through a devastatingly difficult situation just a few years ago where his son Matthew took his life. But Ed Stetzer and Rick Warren hosted a conference together in 2010, just 8 years ago. And in this conference, they'd invited a select group of pastors who were absolutely the top of the crop, so to speak. Their churches were growing faster than anybody else's churches. Their ministries were larger than anybody else's ministries. These pastors were all pastors of churches of 8,000, 10,000 and above. And just recently, Ed Stetzer and Rick Warren were sitting down having lunch together, and they began to reminisce. And as they looked over that lineup from that conference in 2010, one thing stood out to them glaringly. Over half of those pastors were now no longer in ministry. In 8 short years, over half of them had fell out through moral compromise. And those great churches, those great ministries, those things that we would have applauded were now ruined and wrecked in so many ways, and so many Christians disillusioned and hurt. Listen, unless we cling to the Lord, unless we allow God to heal us and help us every step of the way, every one of us here, whenever I hear something like that, it's the old thought, but except for the grace of God, there go I. I absolutely need the empowering of the Holy Spirit. I need emotional health. I need empowerment, His grace on a daily basis. I was on my knees first thing this morning, crying out to the Lord, give me the grace today. Give me your grace today. Let me be a reflection of you today. Let the fruit of your Spirit's presence in my life be manifested today. Let other people see Jesus alive and well and reflecting through my life. And Lord, those areas where I'm prone to sin, I'm prone to fall into traps, I'm prone to saying something I shouldn't, or I'm prone to getting angry, Lord, root that stuff up out of my life. I don't want to be a witness that's compromised. I don't want to make bad choices along the way that end up creating train wrecks for the body of Christ. I want to be about finishing this race well. And that's why Tracy and I are excited about this possibility of sabbatical, because we are going to celebrate later this year on October 21st, the 25th anniversary of this church, and I can't wait to see the new season, the new fruitfulness, the new place that God has for this body. And our very own president of the Four Square Movement, Dr. Glenn Burris, is going to be here celebrating with us. Isn't that exciting? So, hallelujah. Give the Lord praise for that. Amen. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me for a moment? Lord, thank you for this time together this morning. Thank you for the power of your Spirit at work in each of our lives. Lord, those areas where we have held back, those areas where we fell into routine and ruts and where we've not depended on your grace and your power, those areas where we need to freshly surrender, where we need to look to you for strength and help. God, without you, we can do nothing. Nothing of lasting value, nothing of eternal consequence, nothing that will really make a difference. God, we need you. We need you. Would you say it with me? We need you. We need you, Lord. Say it again. We need you, Lord. Empower us, strengthen us, fill us afresh and anew with your Holy Spirit's power and presence. And let your life, your love be reflected through us in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You can stand with me today. Lord, go with us now and let your light shine through us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord.